We are continuing in the 20th chapter of Joshua, and this chapter has to do with the cities of refuge. In the first six verses, he gives the command to go ahead and appoint the other three cities of refuge on the west side of the Jordan River in the land of Canaan proper itself. And then he tells about the laws concerning these cities of refuge. Then beginning with the 7th through the 9th verse, which will be the remainder of the chapter, he names the six cities of refuge, three on east side of Jordan and three on the west side of Jordan. So let's read those verses, beginning with verse 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath-Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. So here we have the names given of the cities of refuge in the land of Canaan that was made by the advice and authority of Joshua and the princes. And then we have the names of the three cities on the other side of Jordan that were in the 2.5 tribes that was made by Moses. Some of the Bible scholars feel that those on the other side of Jordan did not have their authority and privilege until now, that all six were commissioned to be cities of refuge. And this record made of what Moses did about this is in Deuteronomy 4, verse 43. He says in verse 7, and they appointed. Now this word for appointed really means to sanctify. And to sanctify means to set apart or to cleanse for a particular duty. And that's what these cities were to be. They were to be a place of a refuge, a place that was set aside for this purpose of somebody being able to use them for refuge who had been guilty of shedding innocent blood until they could come before the congregation of the Lord and have a trial about it. And then they stayed there, as we read in the previous part of this chapter, until the death of the high priest. And if they died before the high priest died, then they stayed there till their death. And as long as they were in the city of refuge, they were protected then from any who would avenge the blood of the one that they had shed, even though they were innocent and had done it inadvertently and not with any malice or on purpose. So this was a solemn occasion to declare these cities publicly, by law, by the court of the land, to be cities of refuge. It was also very proper for them to be sanctified if they were sanctuaries for refuge, which they certainly were. Christ, our refuge, was sanctified for this by the Father, and we find that he actually sanctified himself in John 17:19, where he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." We find that these cities were evenly scattered throughout the land. They were all about an equal distance apart, and they were located in such areas so that a person would have accessibility to one of the cities fairly easily. It is thought that no city was more than a half day's reach from someone of the people from any corner of the country. And they all had suitable roads leading to them so that they certainly were accessible, and then they could better serve their purpose to protect someone who needed the protection. As we look at the three cities in Canaan, we find that Kadesh was in Naphtali, which was the most northern tribe. Hebron was in Judah, the most southern tribe. And Shechem was in Ephraim, which lay in the middle, about equally distant from the other two. as we look over on the east side of the Jordan, we have Bezer, which was down in the tribe of Reuben, the southern tribe, Ramoth, which was in the tribe of Gad, the mid tribe, and Golan and Bashan, which was in the tribe of Manasseh in the north. Another thing we see about these cities is that they were all Levite cities, which put a certain amount of honor upon God's tribe, because it made Levites then the judges in those cases where the divine providence was so deeply concerned, and in which the judgment here might be a rather delicate matter to arrive at the true innocency of the person who was accused. So the Levites had the duty of being the protectors to the oppressed person who was also innocent. And it seems to be that it would also be a certain kindness to the poor refugee that even though he might not go up to the house of the Lord, he might not walk in the courts of the temple or of the tabernacle, yet he had the servants of God's house with him to instruct him, to pray for him, and to help make up for what he lacked in being able to serve in public. So, if you must be confined, it shall be to a Levite city, where he may, if he will, improve himself with the time spent there. Another thing we note is that these cities were mostly, if not all, located upon hills. Now, a city upon a hill can be seen much more easily. It cannot be hid. And this would both give the proper direction and encouragement to the poor, distressed person that was making his way toward the city. He'd be able to see it and to find it. And though the last part of his way there would be uphill, yet it would be a comfort to him to know that he was going the right direction and not be easily lost from his course trying to find the proper city. It is also very interesting to note the names of these cities and what these names stood for. Since these cities were types of our Savior Jesus Christ, we find that the meaning of each one of these names also can be readily applied to our Savior and to our situation of using Him as a refuge. Kadesh signifies holy, and certainly our refuge is in the holy Jesus Christ. Shechem means a shoulder, and we know that the government is upon His shoulder. Hebron means fellowship, and believers are called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Bezer means a fortification, and certainly Jesus is a stronghold to all those that trust in Him. He is our fortification. Ramoth means high or exalted, and we know that when we talk about our Savior, Him hath God exalted with His own right hand. Golan means joy or exaltation. For in Him all the saints are justified and shall glory and certainly shall have joy. In talking about this subject of refuge, there's another thing that we'd like to mention here that is spoken of rather vaguely in the Old Testament, but yet I think it's worthy to make mention of it. In Exodus 21:14, he implies that a person who came to the altar and who was innocent of having committed a crime willfully might be protected by the altar. For he says, "But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die." Now the fact that he states that he could be taken from the altar that he may die after having done a presumptuous sin implies that if he had done an ignorant sin, that if he had done a sin innocently and had not intended to do it, that then the altar might offer him some protection. And we also find that it seems that the altar was used for this purpose in 1 Kings 1, beginning with the 50th verse, and also in 1 Kings 2, beginning with the 28th verse. I just mentioned that to show that there was another possible source of refuge here for a person who could make it to the altar before the avenger would get to him so that he might use the altar as a place of refuge. We find that today, Christ is our altar, who not only sanctifies the gift that we offer him, but he also protects the giver, who would then offer the gift. So that concludes the 20th chapter of Joshua.